This episode of The Profit Express is brought to you by Corbett Public Relations, promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. Please visit them at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. Well, hello and welcome to The Profit Express. I am Tim Healy, and I'm inviting you to join me each and every week so together we can win the battle for business. Now, if you are a sales professional who is patiently waiting for the world of sales and business to return to what it was pre-pandemic, I hate to break it to you, it ain't ever going back. Now, before you break out in a cold sweat or you stare at the screen like a deer in headlights, the good news is today's guest is the king of sales, best-selling author Jeffrey Gittimer. And he's here to talk about his brand new book, Go Live, which talks about the opportunity the pandemic has afforded us in really what boils down to three words: live, virtual, and video. So it ain't going back, folks, that much we know, and business and sales will never be done the way it was. But we've got one of the best in the business here to show us how to connect live, our content, our message, and virtual to revenue. So it's a great pleasure to have back on board the Profit Express, Jeffrey Gittimer. Jeffrey, how are you today?
Excellent. I'm in my fearless mode.
Perfect and, message.
It is. People are scared shitless. I mean, it's. I've never seen anything like it. People don't know what to do because they've been foisted into
Yes.
a situation that before was an option,
Mm-hmm.
and now it's no longer an option.
It's really not. And whether you watch the news stream, there's so many negative messages. It's very easy to get sucked up into that. But, you know, you and I are going to be sharing a very positive, very proactive message to take advantage of what really amounts to opportunity. And that's what I'm excited about today. So let's jump right in. There are no doubt are going to be salespeople who are listening to the show today who are going to read your book. And again, that book is Go Live, your latest book. In my opinion, a must read for anybody in sales, business owner, etc. But let's start off with this, Jeffrey. Why is this change actually a good thing for the sales professional who's listening right now?
I'm going to give you an example, and Mm-hmm. I think this is the best example that I can give you. You're a sales guy. You have a customer to go fly to. You live on Long Island. Mm-hmm. And you have a call in Phoenix or in, let's make it easier, Cleveland, or let's make it even easier, in the city.
Sure.
And you hop a train and you're there in an hour and a half, or as New Yorkers like to put things in 5-minute intervals. I'm there in an hour and 55.
A dude right.
That's 2 hours and the train's never on time, so it's always 2:15, but that's another But if you fly on, if you're flying someplace on a plane, you can make one, maybe two calls that day.
Right.
At the cost of at least $1,000, at least.
No doubt.
But if you talk to that customer and say, hey, I'd like to arrange a Zoom meeting with you or a StreamYard meeting with you, can you tell me your favorite brand of coffee and do you have a Keurig? And they give it to you, and now you send the guy a box of coffee and a mug. Maybe it's a $20 mug if you're cheap. Maybe it's only a $10 mug. But the guy gets a mug and a box of coffee, and he's going to tell somebody that he got this, correct? He's going to show it to either both of his friends or all of his coworkers.
Right. Right.
Now, that meeting cost about $30. Unless you add your time, let's make it $50. I can have a meeting at 8 o'clock, another one at 9 o'clock, another one at 10 o'clock, another one at 11 o'clock, and my total cost of the day is under $100. And I've touched base with 5 potential decision makers. So that's going to change the face of corporate travel literally forever. I mean, it is, It ain't going back to where it was, I can tell you that. So, no. Yes, there will be calls that you'll travel to. Yes, there will be times when you will absolutely need to get on the airplane, but they're going to be cut in half. That's my opinion, Tim, and I'm sticking with it.
Well, it just the math would dictate it. It's just, you know, the expenses, the time, it just, they're fractional now. I've seen it in my own business. The profitability is soared. I used to drive around the island 25,000 miles every year. That didn't happen in 2020, I can tell you that. Now, you talk about, so this is kind of, I see it as I'm reading your book, and I've read a number of your books, I got, as the reader, a real sense that, you know, said, hey, we're not going back to the way it was. I don't know if it's just me, but it was kind of like your passion for this message was elevated in a way that I hadn't really seen before. And it, to me, it's like sales has gone through evolutions, you know, dating back to Dale Carnegie and solution selling, psychology selling. And this is, to me,
strategic selling, challenger selling.
Right. All,
yeah. I define them in one word, but I don't think you're allowed to use bullshit on the radio.
But
they're no longer valid.
Right.
It's the old way.
Right.
And that way is not going to work anymore. You can't walk into a prospect and be unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
You can't walk into a prospect's place and not have created a competitive advantage for yourself. Not something that you have that the competition doesn't have, but something that you have that the customer considers important and they want.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because if you have it and your competition doesn't have it and your customer doesn't care about it, it's no longer an advantage.
Right.
It only matters what the customer wants or needs. And sometimes those lines are very blurred. You know, I want a new car, but I don't really need one.
So let me ask, we're talking about the evolution of sales and a lot of, you know, those methods that you mentioned that are irrelevant, you know, solution selling, challenger selling, et cetera. Is this evolution into virtual and live, do you think it's going to be more of an impact for business than the previous changes that we've seen over the last 100 years? That's kind of what the sense I'm getting.
Yeah. Oh, it's already there. And what happened was, until COVID or pandemic or whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
virtual and video were an option.
Right.
They are no longer an option. They're the mainstream now. They're the norm or the new normal. And
right.
when you run into something that has changed that drastically, what happens is, no matter who you are, the field is relatively level. Now, you have a tactical advantage because you have a podcast. You're already well into it. You're very well established.
Thank
People
you.
Actually like you. and you have credibility. For me, I've had a studio since 1998, so I've been virtual literally since then, since the internet was 56K, and I have a technical advantage there. But when COVID hit, I made the unusual decision to go live on Facebook during this period, what I thought was a 2 or 3 week period where this pandemic is hitting and it's all, you know, people are dying. And I wanted to calm the sales world down. I just wanted to get on every day and say, hey, you guys, it's going to be okay. Here's 3 things you can do. Here's a couple of things you might want to try. Here's how you can start your podcast at home. Stuff.
Right.
Well, I've now been on almost 300 straight days. March 16th is when I started. If you can remember back that far.
I almost don't want to. So, but it's 9:59, right? On Facebook Live, AM.
Yeah. But I do it on StreamYard.
Right.
So that I have my LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube. I'm reaching out to thousands and thousands of people.
Right.
And they show up. They show up every day like clockwork from all over the world. there's been a and people refer to it as I'm on your 959. like that's the name of the show. But it coincided with this book. Literally, coincidence was scary because the book was out way before the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
you know, down on paper. And sure. then out of December, it was the perfect read for people that are trying to, what do I do? How do I do it? I put podcasting in there, live streaming in there, all kinds of digital marketing in there, all kinds of what to do on a video, HIPAA videos in there. And this is how you get better at what you're doing by just taking these new four or five skills and mastering them.
Right.
But
right.
this is what I found, and it's pretty interesting. People think that if they're online and that their program works and that, you know, they click their Zoom link or whatever it is, that they're okay. No, dude, I can see your closet in the background. Oh, wait. But wait, your bed is not made. What kind of a person does that?
Right, right.
I think you have to look at the aspect of there has to be a strategy around your professional look. Like, we're at the beach right now. So I got some palm trees in the back. Is my lighting the greatest? Nah. Could I put some better lighting on myself? Yes, I could, but my wife put the light out on the porch because she was doing her own show this morning. So I, you know, this is, it's not a makeshift place. This is how we're doing it. You want to take my, oh, wait, I may get the light. Hold on.
Oh, we're going to have a live adjustment. I love it.
Well, we have Jewish guilt going on, so we're oh, my God. Let's see what's happening. We'll see. But in the meantime,
yes,
there are some new skills that are involved in this.
Right.
So the average salesperson, he or she is in a great position.
Right.
They can, where if they were in last place 6 months ago, they can be in first place tomorrow just by getting their act together.
You know, it's funny. One thing you spoke about in the book, and I'd like you to touch on it, is as we're...
Whoa, see how much better I look right now?
Look at that. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. What, Jeffrey, one thing you spoke about in the... What's that?
But lighting is important in this whole process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So kind of talking about that, one thing that you mentioned that I'd like you to touch on is now is a great time for sales professionals to do a self-analysis of who they are, their brand, their message, their social footprint. Talk about that. Why is that so important right now?
Well, the customer has always Googled you.
Yes.
But now, and salespeople think they're living in a vacuum. but... Now more than ever, you're exposed who you are and who you aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been given the gift of time. The question is, how did you invest that time? What did you do with that time? How did that time allow you to do things that you haven't done before? And still there's a window. There'll be another 6 month window where you can build up your internet presence, your social platform. And when you make a call to someone, they're going to Google you and they're going to go, wow, this guy's got his shit together.
Right,
this
right.
This guy's good.
Yep.
And I'm going to form that impression. You Googled me. I Google you. We know each other.
Sure. You said something very interesting just there, Jeffrey, how even though it is 2021 and so much has happened because in the last year in the pandemic, salespeople, I don't know how, maybe it's just human nature, they think they live in a vacuum. And I don't know who's right. going to go to my LinkedIn profile, who's going to see me on Facebook, etc. That amazes me.
Yeah, those people are idiots.
So again, today's guest...
I find out exactly who you are in less than 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, it's not like it's 2010 and people still trying to catch on. But today's guest is Jeffrey Gittimer, talking about his latest book right here, Go Live, which is it's a must read. It is an absolute must read, as all of Jeffrey's books are. And one thing that you did say, some of the things as I was reading through the book even shocked me. And I'm somebody who's had a podcast and a radio show for 10 years, over 10 years. And wow. You said every aspect of sales will have a go live element in it. That caused me to kind of sit back and expand upon that one if you could.
Well, think about this. 6 months ago, everyone sent out a email with a proposal. And the proposal said, thank you very much for attach, please find my proposal. Please look at the price page and ignore everything else because I know you're going to do that. Okay. But now with Hippo Video,
right,
that I have become a spokesperson for, you can take a video of yourself using their software, embed it in your email, and talk about the fact that, hey, my proposal's attached, but it's not quite self-explanatory. I'd like to explain to you for just a minute what happens after you decide to use us. What's the outcome going to be? And you present an emotional message, and that emotional message plays without a download. And with their software, I can tell you when they opened it, how long they played it.
So you can get the back-end analytics.
Totally. Ooh. And if they play it twice, you know what that means? They showed it to somebody else.
Love it.
Yeah, like, hey, Bob, you got to see this. Come here.
Right.
And I have some of my customers have already done 1,000 videos. 1,000 videos. I recommended that everybody can their Christmas card and send people a video.
Right.
And the results, one guy came on my live this morning and said that he made 3 sales from sending out Christmas cards on video.
So he was a fan of yours. He's a part of your 9:59 a.m. Facebook Live. One of the ideas you shared is, hey, forget the cards that everybody's going to get a million of, right? You're going to be in the pile. Right, exactly. Right. And do a video instead. And he has actionable results that he could put his hand on. They turn into sales.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Wow.
He texted me. He put it in the chat this morning.
Awesome. That I love.
Okay. Now, there are people, literally their ability to communicate with people has been enhanced and exacerbated 1,000 times because the customer can actually see your passion and see your emotion. Video is not the new black, it's the new green money. And if you put it into that perspective, you're going to win.
Right.
So my personal, I don't do a proposal without a video. I just don't. It's so cool to do.
It's so much more fun that you could put, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but you could put the energy and the passion into it that you can't put into paper. Now, you talk about, and I agree wholeheartedly, but I'm anticipating sales guys having a problem with this. You say, hey, get rid of the slide decks. Get rid of the presentations.
You know what? You're anticipating a problem because you're a New Yorker.
Yeah.
You anticipate all problems. They'll tell you 5 ways till next Tuesday why it's not going to work.
I'm on board. I'm saying this. I'm talking for the other sales guys out there.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I like guys who walk. People walk up Ric Flair in the Charlotte airport because he lived there, the wrestler, and they all want an autograph for their son. But now, I'll tell you this.
Yes.
It will not work if you don't make it work.
Okay.
It will not work if you're not internet savvy or social media savvy. So there may be some fundamentals that you're going to have to deal with straight away. If you don't have a profile that I can Google and be impressed by, you're screwed anyway.
Right.
I mean, why would you put yourself in a losing position when you could just as easily be in a winning position with a little bit of work? Just turn off Netflix, stop drinking beer, and start working for yourself in a way where it's your brand, dude. Yeah, people got furloughed. I was working there for 10 years and they furloughed me. Right. Where's your own brand? Well, you know, they discouraged it. Right. And like an idiot, you followed that. Those. No, this is you. This is your time.
We spoke about it the last time you were on the show, and it's not about the virtual part of the conversation, but you said, and I think it's very important nowadays because a lot of people have been shuttered in and, you know, anxiety, et cetera.
Against their will, by the way.
Right, right. Great point. So you have, you say, let's not binge watch on Netflix. Talk to us for a moment about what you have done every morning for, I don't know, I think it's 25 years or so. You have a very specific formula. Can you share that?
I do. First of all, I have an 11-year-old daughter, even though I shouldn't. So she gets up at 6 o'clock, and on those days, I get up at 5 o'clock. But I think okay. an hour for me.
Okay.
And in that hour, I read, I write, I prepare, and that causes me to think and create. By 7 o'clock this morning, just as an example, I'd already written a proposal, read 15 pages from a book, and had two calls, both of which were money. So by 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm eating breakfast and people are wiring me, you know, money. That's part of the deal. That's how we work right now. So I've been doing my own morning routine for 25 years. Now, nowadays, after I finish writing and reading and preparing, I also post. So there's posting that goes along with reading, writing, and preparing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the elements that will build your brand. And you look at my, you know, I have 29,000 LinkedIn connections. I'm like 10 away from you can't have anymore. And I have 6 or 7 million views on my YouTube channel and 100,000 Twitter followers. I'm in social media and I'm a little older than most of the people that are crying about the fact, well, I need more contacts. Well, there's a secret. So why don't I share the secret with you right now?
Wait, right now we're going to share the secret.
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right.
One word secret of sales, and it's not plastics. That's falling on some deaf ears.
Well, I got it, but
what
yeah.
What you talking about? Okay. The secret word is attract. Why would any salesperson troll LinkedIn
right. To
find somebody in their category and then send out some cold invite? Why wouldn't you post online something of value with enough tags in there that someone searching for that information might stumble yours? And they read it and they like it and they reach out to you because you had another offer for something free at the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you win. Now I have someone that I know I can make a contact with and it's not going to avoid me. They're not going to hang up on me. I'm going to be one for one on that call, not one for 100 on that call. But I'll take it just one more step deeper. It's not the law of attraction. It's value attraction. If I put value out into the marketplace and people see it and perceive it as value, so it's got to be perceived value, not just value to me, might be no value to somebody else.
Right, right.
But I can tell you that if I'm in the construction business, you're not going to sell me lumber, but you can talk to me about safety. Because I don't want guys falling off the roof and dying or hitting their thumb with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had a daily safety message that went out, people may actually say it. So think about what your customer really needs. Think about what they really want and then try to create that attraction so that they find you. Now, I've just given people the ultimate secret of sales. If you're from the Hamptons all the way down maybe to Jersey and Teaneck, you're saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm not saying yeah, yeah, yeah. What I'm saying is I've just given it to you. And if you look at your own profile, it's horrible. If you look at your own background when you're performing on video, it's repulsive.
Right.
So you may be from New York and you may know everything, but I'm telling you, you could still learn just a couple little things. Nothing big.
Well, listen, and that's why that self-analysis is important. It's like, be honest with yourself. You know, what does the profile look like? What does your message look like? How do you look like?
Shut the door and just put a mirror in the room.
Right, right.
Or go to the bathroom, shut the door, and look at your sink, and then look up.
Right.
It's you, babe. And it's you. You're alone with the most important person in the world at least twice a day if you're at home. and you have to justify who you're becoming, not just who you are, but are you doing something for yourself that works?
Now, one thing, obviously video is so critical now, live video. Mm-hmm. I really liked how you did it, where you know the excuses, you've heard them, I've heard them, where people are going to read your book and say, oh yeah, Jeffrey's right, but I can't do video. I don't look good. I don't have a message. And you asked some really good pointed questions to really kind of put it all to bed as far as it being nonsense. And the fact that really, you know, if you're in sales, if you own your own business, you owe it to yourself, you owe it to your customers and your brand to do video. Am I right in saying that?
That's correct. If you're not doing video, first of all, you're going to lose to someone who does.
Right. No doubt.
And second of all, you're going to put yourself in a position where it's just insane that you're not keeping up with the times. Why do people buy new cars every couple of years? Because they're trying to keep up with the times. But at some point, the whole game changes. And let's just look at the car industry. Has the game changed in cars? Oh yeah. All of a sudden, every manufacturer has an electric car. Geez, right. I wonder why. Because they avoided them. They could have had them 20 years ago. But they, you know, they're lazy. They don't think that, well, the public won't accept it. And they give you all kinds of reasons. Now, all of a sudden, oh, look at our car. No, wait, look at our car. Elon Musk changed that whole industry. What did Steve Jobs do to the phone business? What did he do to the music business? So at some point, the game changes. And it's changing right now with video. It's changing right now with virtual. It's changing right now with a podcast. Mm-hmm. It's changing right now with a live broadcast. And if people don't get that, they're nuts. They're totally, absolutely nuts.
Yeah, they're certainly missing it for sure.
Well, they're going to lose to someone who does. That's the easiest way I can describe it. You don't have to do it. Just be prepared to lose.
Yeah, and that's a guarantee. That's not a maybe or an if. That's a guarantee.
Absolutely.
Today's episode of The Profit Express is brought to you by Corbett Public Relations, promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. Please visit my good friends at Corbett PR at corbettpr.com. That's corbettpr.com. Again, today's guest.
Can you spell that again? C-O-R.
C-O-R-T-T. Oh. Two T's. Corbett, PR.com.
Got it. Okay.
There you go. Thank you.
Give him that.
And again, today's guest is Jeffrey Ginnemer, the king of sales. Here he is. And we're talking about his brand new book. Thank you for the screenshot. Go live. I love it. I've read many of the books. This is a must read for everybody who's trying to get out of the doldrums of the pandemic. And if you are the salesperson who's listening, who's hoping that, oh, things will go back to the way they were, Jeffrey's here to tell you that they're not going to go back. But it's not a bad thing.
They're not ever going to go back. Right. Who's going to go back to a non-video world? Who's going to go back to a non-virtual world?
Now, all right, let me play devil's advocate for a second.
Sure.
So, and I agree.
Put on your Giants uniform.
Listen, I'm a Jets fan.
Oh, got it.
I'm a Jets fan. Yeah, you don't lie about being a Jets fan, by the way.
No, that's true. You just put up with it. Yeah.
Exactly. So,
like you don't plan on going there. You just wind up there.
So relationship is key. And I could see a number of salespeople saying, all right, so if we don't go back to the way it was, you know, will there be trade shows? Will there be these conferences if it all goes to virtual? Then how, if I'm not, you know, pressing the flesh, if I'm not belly to belly, doesn't that really put me at a disadvantage?
Sometimes it does. And okay. There will be seminars, there will be trade shows, there will be meetings, but there's going to be less of them.
Okay.
And they'll be more sacred and they'll be better attended and they'll be more profitable for the people that put them on. There just won't be as many of them. There's going to be less business flights. There's going to be less getting together because CEOs are looking at like, hey, we just had this live conference and it was fine. Why do we have to fly to Vegas? And the answer is they probably don't.
Right.
So I'm looking at it from the perspective of it's going to probably will most likely be reduced by half. It won't completely go away, but half is a good number to predict coming into the future. And that number may not come back until the end of 2021, because right now it's a ghost.
But so, all right. So, but like say 5 years from now, you think it'll be at about 50% of what it once was?
It may come back to 75.
Okay.
But it's not going to be 100. I don't think, because so many corporate executives and CFOs.
Yeah.
Are going to say, why are we spending this $1 million? Why can't we put it in this? So I'm looking at it as a bonanza for training, because I think that they're going to take that money and reinvest it into making their salespeople more successful. So far, that's what I'm finding.
Okay. Now,
They're willing to pay me a fee to do a virtual event, but almost all of them are accepting ongoing training now virtually, because it's the norm.
So here's something interesting, because we have, you know, there's consultants who are listening, you know, the subject matter experts. And I've had a number of conversations where, and I'd love to get your take on this. So if you've been giving a talk on sales, marketing, digital, whatever your topic is, mm-hmm. and you had typically gone to your client, whether it was at their location or a hotel, et cetera. And if your fee was $5,000, and yeah. they said, yeah, hey, Bob, we want to hire you, but you're going to be doing this on Zoom. You know, we only have $3,000 for this. I've actually heard a lot of that. So you're somebody who's out there.
You have two choices. You can take it or leave it.
That's okay.
One choice. And you can say, you know, I've upped my game so much that my normal fee used to be $5,000. It's now $7,500. But there's a reason people don't do that, and that's because they have no balls.
Right.
I mean, you kind of have to decide one time or the next if you have balls or not. And to me, I'm doing things to accommodate customers right now. I'm helping them
right.
back to a place where they want to be. And so have I compromised my fee? Yes, I have. Not all the time, but yes, I have.
Okay.
And I talk to the customer about where they are and what they're doing and see if I can, you know, accommodate them in some way. And if I can't, I pass. And they're going to get a lesser person doing a lesser job. And, you know, I'm the best at what I do. I'm the best at what I do. So I can't compromise too much or I reduce my own brand value.
Right.
So I want to try to help my customers, especially if they're an existing customer.
No
doubt.
If
they're hurting. And I've done it several times. And they know that it's going back to whatever it was at some point in time. But they appreciate the fact that I accommodated them. That I gave them, you know, whatever they needed at the moment in time. People don't forget that. People don't forget that.
No, especially right now. Yeah, that gets registered and it's embedded forever, no doubt. And again, that was something that, you know, if you were smart, you helped. Like you said, you did the Facebook Live just as a way to kind of, you know, rally the troops get people, you know, focus, get their mindset right, focus on the positive, not the negative, and look what that's done. I mean, even I think you had mentioned in the book, I think that's where I'd seen it. So you've done the Facebook Live since March 16th, basically once the pandemic hit. What has the impact been? You already had a big social footprint. What has that done since then?
It has created about 1,000 new friends, and people have actually begun interacting and doing business with one another on my live. They're pals now. I can't explain it. People from all over the world know each other now. They come on every day. They fight to be on at 9:59, Tim.
To be the first one.
Yeah. I acknowledge the first 10 people.
Right.
But they're fighting to get on, first of all. And if you're listening, just come on at 9:59 and check it out for yourself, because I'm going to do 500 days for sure.
Okay.
I've already done 300. If I'm only going to do 500, I'm on a downhill slide. But it'll probably go for a couple of years, because now it's like, even my kid goes, is it time for your Facebook? yeah. But I have alarm set. I got, you know, I don't miss. I've done them from the road. I've done them from with no internet. I've done everything I possibly can to keep that alive.
Now, let me ask you. So if everybody's fighting to be the first at 9:59, you give a shout out to the first 10. When do you actually have to sign on? Is there a trick to this? Is there anything you could share?
I have no. I'm a Jew with a Macintosh. I'm not. I don't know. But I will say this. I'm on every different platform, so you could be the first on from Twitter. You could be the first on from YouTube.
Oh, okay.
I think YouTube lets you on the first.
Oh, okay. So, thank you. Now we have a little insight.
Yeah, you can pre-post and it'll show up on the feed there.
All right. Okay. So are you paying attention to listeners of the Prophet Express?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I was on Tim's show and the Prophet Express, and he gave me this tip. La-di-da.
I love it. Now let's get back to the actual, like, the creating of the content, because I still think, you know, we talked about how it can impact revenue and of the value as perceived by client, but I still think a lot of people struggle with how to put together good content. And one thing you talked a lot about was being relaxed. And here I'm looking at you, you're down near the beach, you've got this great backdrop, palm trees, etc. Not just a great backdrop, but talk about the physiology and the psychology of being relaxed when you create content.
I think the more you put yourself in a position of your mind is free and your mind is clear, and I don't mean any religious connotations by that.
Sure.
You have the opportunity to have new ideas pop up. Most people now, and this is really unfortunate, they live by this.
Yep.
And I see people get off the plane and their face is buried in their phone to a point where they bump into a wall and don't think anything of it. Oh, crap, I just bumped into a wall. And they keep going on their phone. So I grew up without that phone. I grew up observing things and people, things, places, and people. And that gives you experience. And once your mind is clear and you come up with an idea, your experience allows you to fill it in. In other words, the content is there. If you're thinking, will this be valuable to my customer? If it isn't, then either, you know, write to your kid or do, you know, preserve it in some way. Don't just discount your idea because it might come back to you better. But focus on how do I help other people win? That's what I've been doing for 25 years and so far working. I'm going to do it another 25 and then that's it. I'm going to quit.
Then you're done. Okay. So you're going to stick with it.
I'm totally done. I'll have a, corned beef sandwich at Katz's Deli and then call it a day.
So you mentioned there's...
By the way, when I come to New York...
Yes.
And probably every other time I go to Katz, because it's the best living deli now that the Carnegie's closed and whatever.
Sure.
Well, they have these guys doing the sandwiches. And yeah. I try to get the guy pissed off at me and call the person behind me. So I get up to the line. I'm standing up on the line. And the guy says, "What do you want?" I go, "I'm a corned beef pastrami. I'm not really sure. I was wondering." All right, next.
I can totally see that happening. You took too long. Right.
Okay, so then I put $5 in his tip jar, and he starts giving me meat, and he starts being my friend.
Wow.
It's a classic.
It's so amazing. I'm not just trying to make you feel good about yourself, because you don't need my help in that. But what I love about your message is you bring creativity and something different and something new to whatever you're doing, whether it is the phone call, whether it's the message, whether it's the video. And people are so buttoned up. They're so tight. They're afraid to let loose and to be themselves and to do something different, to have fun. You talked about humor in the book. You talked about, listen, if people laugh, you gave that great example of, when we're getting the instructions on a plane and nobody pays attention. But if you're funny, then all of a sudden, wait, what did this guy say? And then you're going to want to continue to listen.
Do you have a, you're out on the island. Do you know Steve Russo lives out there? Do you know Steve?
Not personally. He's a comedian, though. I do know of him for sure. Yep.
I'll get you his number.
Okay.
You have him on the show. He's a classic. And he's right down the street from you.
Yeah, we're in the same area. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. But talk about humor. He's your guy.
Yeah.
He has become a humor being.
Yeah. You mentioned, don't you and him go back a while? Because you mentioned that in the book, I believe.
We've been friends for 20 years.
Okay.
Maybe 30.
Okay.
I try to keep things at 20. You know what I mean? That way it doesn't seem like it was that long ago.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, I hear you.
My phone message, if you've ever called my cell, it's the Three Stooges. And Rizzo did all the voices.
So he created that for you. I did not know that.
Yeah. Hey, Mo. Get him not here right now. Go on, fellas. Let's get back to work. So me and Rizzo call each other Mo. We've been calling each other Mo for years.
That is great. Yeah. That is great. And today's guest on the Profit Express is Jeffrey Gittimer, of course, the king of sales, best-selling author. We're talking about his new book, Go Live. Things are not going to go back to what they were pre-pandemic. That's just it. But it is embracing what is the new opportunity. And that's what Jeffrey and I have been discussing today. But that there is a lot of great opportunity in that if you embrace it, you cannot fight it. We cannot fight it. Because video was maybe optional 5 years ago. Post-pandemic, it's not an option. Safe to say, Jeffrey?
That's correct. Yeah. It, not only is it not an option, it's a skill that you better start to master. You just can't be doing it. Well, I'm doing that. No, you're not doing it. You master it.
Right.
Because if you're not mastering, you're going to lose to somebody who's a master.
Well, it's another craft that you have to develop and hone and be your best.
It's a craft or a sport. Someone's going to, beat your ass in tennis or golf or whatever it is. This is another game.
Right.
You're in a sales game. Play to win.
Absolutely.
And look at it as an opportunity, not as an, what's this crap all about? If you're not looking at it positively, quit. Just go become a dog catcher or something. There's plenty of openings.
Now, I have to speak about this because this from the sales perspective, this is very important. You want to be able to get your prospect to the point of saying what are those two most powerful words in sales in the agreement of fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to try to explain that. How do we use our social proof, our virtual presence, to get the prospect, the client, to agree that, hey, yeah, you know what, Jeffrey? That's fair enough. I like that.
Exactly. Exactly. The best way to do it is silently. Let them discover it for themselves. Before you buy anything, Tim, you go online, you Amazon look at it, you go to the car dealers all around the country. People spend an average, I forget what the number was, but like 8 hours researching a new car.
Right.
And so you've already got the information and you got it silently. You didn't ask anybody for that info. If you go into a restaurant tonight, you go to Yelp. If you're going to go to a hotel at a resort, you go to TripAdvisor. You don't ask anybody for it. And the key is the number 5. Are you a 5? Would your customers rate you a 5? Would your vendors rate you a 5? Where are you on the 5 scale? Used to be 10. Are you a 10? But then Raquel Welch turned 80, but she's only a 5.
Oh, man.
But was she the 10? Anyway.
No, wasn't that? That was Bo Derek.
Oh, yeah, Bo Derek. Yeah. She's 80. Yeah, yeah. She's 80.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh.
I know. It's horrible when those things happen. Mona Lisa is still a 10, but you know, she's.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so.
So look at it from that perspective, because 5 is the new normal number. And everyone's looking to see if you are a 5 or not. And if you are not a 5, I'm going to delete you, or I'm at least going to question your ability to be my fit. If I'm not going to go to a restaurant that's rated 2, you, or a hotel that's rated 2.
It's but so people, true though.
People are, they're still, you know, they're still pissing people off on the phone.
Right.
Like they, you know, like, oh, I'm upset about, no, the best thing you can do. I have this book. I'll promote it just a little bit.
Sure.
This is a little gold book of yes attitude, and man, can everyone use it right now.
Yep.
And every corporation, every small business should make it mandatory reading for all of their employees who have this entitlement sense. It's not working for them very well because they're angry little kids. They feel like, well, what kind of vacation do I get? Let me explain something, pal. Let me explain something. It starts now. I'll see it at unemployment.
Yeah, talk about asking the wrong questions when you start a job, right? You know, how many weeks vacation? So we could keep going in so many different directions, and the book is not just great real lessons and real actionable ideas on embracing virtual video and your virtual presence post-pandemic, but it's also, as you always really do a great job of, tying in the life lessons of stop being sorry for yourself, stop crying, get that yes attitude, if you will.
Go out and buy a washcloth, fill it with cold water, and slap yourself in the face. Pretty much what you need. Bring your own, a little bit, but don't get all your clothes wet.
Your own reality check. Listen, I just want to, I got to ask, because again, you talked about incorporating humor, and that's not always easy for people to do. No. I am curious though, because you can really do humor bad if it's offensive, et cetera, whatever. What would be a tip or so that you'd like to share? Is, hey, this is how you can safely incorporate some humor into video and into your content.
So I start making fun of myself.
Right.
Flying into Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and the plane's 3 hours late and it's raining, and I get out and they didn't have one of those ramps. I had to get down the ladder. Yeah. And when it's raining outside, first thing that happens is my hair gets all ruined. And I'll look at someone like you and I'll go, you know what I mean?
I feel your pain. Yeah,
exactly. So now we are already laughing about something that is safe.
Right.
We'll go over the line with humor. Some guys do. I'm not one of them. And I try to put myself in a position where it's always about me first on a humorous basis. and then I can open up to the audience. And once the audience will laugh, you know, and so let me put it another way, and let me put it in the face of this right now. And it'll make you smile, but it'll also make you think. It'll make you smile, but make you think.
Okay.
I teach people how to emerge from the pandemic to talk to a customer that they haven't talked to in a while. And they have to understand, they have to be empathetic with that and understand how to begin the communication, because some people may have lost a relative and some people may have just run out of toilet paper.
That's a great point.
And you have to know how, and that's, it's light enough, running out of toilet paper is light enough to make them go, okay, yeah. But losing a relative makes them think about it, so it's emotional and light at the same time.
Right.
So there's all kinds of things that happen in humor, and you have to use, you have to be real, you have to know your audience, I'll just put it that way. Because places you just can't go over the edge.
Well, no, that's a great point. That's why I wanted to bring it up. Before I let you go, and another great interview. Thanks for sharing your time, Jeffrey, on the Profit Express. But I had to ask, favorite episode of The Honeymooners?
Probably my favorite episode of The Honeymooners is where Ralph has to learn how to play golf. It's a pretty good one. Or when they get into a big fight and Ralph comes home and says, I'm not going to eat in the same room with this man. I can wait for dinner. And Norton goes, yeah, you can wait, but I feel sorry for the farmers. There's always a joke in there that allows Gleason to be made fun of as an overweight person.
Right, right.
I got it here, Alice. You got it here. You got it here. Okay, so that show was the beginning of the sitcom as we know it.
Right.
It was right. Women's lib. It was women standing up for themselves. It was guys doing stupid things like going to the raccoon lodge. And, well, I don't want to say it's stupid things. It's that people still do it, and I don't want to make fun of that. But it's man and woman. They're shooting right. pool. They're, you know, they're going down to Kelsey's bar, whatever it is. And it's just a great show.
Yeah.
It talked about neighbors getting along with one another. Remember when they got the television and Ralph had to have it in his house and official space helmet on, Captain Video. I mean, it's just a great, great thing. I have, if you ever come to our home, I have an unbelievable collection of The Honeymooners.
Awesome.
I have signed posters by everybody. I have.
Really?
I have the Alice book signed. I have a bunch of Ed Norton stuff. I mean, just, you know, Art Carney was a phenomenal, phenomenal guy.
Wow.
I mean, just funny as hell.
Right. And, of course.
It's still my favorite show. You asked me what's my favorite show ever of all time. It's Honeymooners.
Yeah. Well, I had to ask. I mean, it's an absolute classic. Yeah.
And they still play it in New York. It's hard to get in Charlotte.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you can get them. Listen, on YouTube, you can have everything.
Well, right. Now, I was actually, because every New Year, at least in New York, they run the Honeymooners Marathon on New Year's Eve. Do they do that down in Charlotte?
Cool. Nah.
Really? Yeah. Oh.
That's on Channel 11. We don't have any.
WPIX. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Jeffrey, again, let me thank you. The timing and of your message, Go Live, and your new book couldn't be more appropriate. It might be one of your best time books ever, honestly, at least from my perspective.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Phenomenal read, and thank you so much again for sharing your time today.
It's my pleasure. Find me at Gittimer.com or go to Amazon. All good. Tim, thank you for having me. I totally appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Stay healthy.